This is KMXT Kodiak 100.1 FM, streaming live on the web at kmxt.org. We're heading up into the noon hour, and my name is Jared. I'll be taking you through the Midday Report and the Island Messenger, and then on into Talk of the Rock, where I'll be talking to the Aleutic Museum about their new language preservation programs. I love talking about language. Right now in Kodiak, it's 66 degrees. Fair skies. It's going to be a beautiful day. We're going to get up to about 69 degrees. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. It looks like we've got about 3 days of beautiful weather ahead of us, and we'll get more details on that later in the Midday Report. Some of the headlines we got coming up. Speaking of which, let's see. Some more details on the summer influx. influx of new people coming in and dealing with COVID, and some more COVID number updates for you with a summary of Governor Micah Dunleavy's press conference that he held last night. A story out of Southeast: seasonal summer workers were laid off in droves, but the city's created a Depression era style conservation corps to put people back to work. And let's see, Copper River sockeye salmon return has rebounded. Got a story on that. And then at a fundraiser for U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan on this past weekend, somebody threw a caribou heart at him. So we will we'll have some information about that coming up right after NPR National Headlines.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The Trump administration is reversing course on a new rule that would have forced tens of thousands of international students whose schools are holding fall semester online due to the pandemic to transfer to another college or university or leave the United States. Today, a U.S. district judge said that Harvard University and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology have reached an agreement with the federal government. The administration rescinded its directive as it faced eight federal lawsuits and pressure from hundreds of universities whose revenues depend greatly on the full tuition many international students pay. Despite President Trump's push to have schools reopen in the fall, the Los Angeles Unified School District, the second largest in the country, is opting to stay online in the fall. Here's Superintendent Austin Buettner.
We can't be safely back at schools now. Our goal is to get back as soon as possible, but health and safety first.
An NPR analysis finds new cases are increasing in 48 states and Puerto Rico. Canada and the U.S. have agreed to keep their shared border closed for an additional 30 days. Dan Karpinchuk reports sources in Ottawa say the two countries are on the same page on this issue.
The latest extension to the closure was to end on July 21st. The new date is now August 21st. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau talked with President Trump by phone on Monday and suggested a decision on the border would be coming. He added that talks on the issue were ongoing with the aim of keeping Canadians safe, but the flow of trade and commerce unimpeded. Washington has been under pressure from some northern states to urge Canada to begin a phased reopening of the border. But with surging numbers of cases of COVID-19 in parts of the U.S., many provinces, especially Ontario, want to see the border remain closed. Health officials in Ottawa say limiting international travel to Canada has been a key factor in controlling the outbreak. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
After last-minute delays and legal hand-wringing, the United States government held its first execution in 17 years this morning at the federal penitentiary in Terre Haute, Indiana. Adam Pinsker of member station WFIU was a media witness. He says Daniel Lewis Lee continued to profess his innocence until his final breath.
"You're killing an innocent man. I'm not perfect, but I'm not a murderer." Those were some of the final words spoken by Daniel Lewis Lee moments before a lethal dose of chemicals was administered into his body. The execution began at 7:47 a.m. Tuesday. Lee took several breaths and was officially pronounced dead at 8:06 a.m. Around 2 a.m. Tuesday, the U.S. Supreme Court voted 5-4 to allow the execution to proceed. In 1999, Lee and an accomplice were convicted of robbing and killing William and Nancy Mueller, both gun salespeople, as well as murdering the couple's 8-year-old daughter. Lee became the first inmate executed at the federal level since 2003. For NPR News, I'm Adam Pinsker in Bloomington, Indiana.
This is NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
The jump in the number of COVID-19 infections reported in the Kodiak area does not come as a surprise to those who are tracking the spread of the virus. Megan Christensen, who works for the Kodiak Area Emergency Services Organization, says this is a peak time for travel in and out of Kodiak due to the fishing industry and what's known as the Coast Guard's transfer season, when new members arrive to begin their tour of duty on Kodiak and others depart to new assignments. But Christensen says it's also the construction season.
This is the time of year when a lot of building activities occur, maintenance occurs, and we've got a highway being paved. We've got the Coast Guard has a few projects on base. There's just a multitude of projects going on around town.
And there's also more people flying into Kodiak this time of year.
So we've been seeing 80 or more people per day come in on the afternoon flights. And now that they've opened up a few morning flights per week, we're anticipating 60 or more people on those flights. So that's quite a few people coming in, whether they're people returning home for some reason or coming in for work.
With so many more people in the area, Christensen says that raises the risk of exposure to COVID-19. She and other health officials say now is the time to stay vigilant, to wear your mask, practice social distancing, and wash your hands a lot. Small steps that can slow the spread of the virus. Since last Thursday, 5 new cases of COVID-19 have been reported, and the last 2 were on Saturday. The number of active COVID-19 infections among Alaskans now tops 900. Yesterday, the state reported another 60 Alaska residents have tested positive for the virus, plus the state reports 11 new cases among non-residents. One more person has become sick enough to require hospitalization, but the state reported no new deaths. The latest case count follows Sunday's report of more than 100 new infections in Alaska, a new one-day record. Since late June, Alaska has continued to log dozens of new cases each day. Governor Mike Dunleavy says Alaska may be headed toward a surge in cases, and he's asking Alaskans to wear face masks and practice social distancing. The Anchorage Health Department is also warning that employees tasked with investigating the infections are overwhelmed. During the news conference yesterday, on Monday, Dunleavy repeated his call for Alaskans to stay away from others and wear masks to prevent the spread of the virus.
If we step back just a little bit and start working on some of these mitigation approaches that we all did months ago, that had us with the lowest numbers in the country across the board, and our numbers are still pretty low and in some cases lowest across the board, we're going to keep our businesses open easily.
More than 20% of the more than 1,500 Alaskan cases have been announced in the last 5 days. Dunleavy says his administration doesn't want to shut things down, but he is asking people to take steps to reduce the spread of the virus. Dunleavy says a combination of factors have led to the increase in the state. He says that the low number of cases in the state compared with what many people expected to be affecting Alaskans' behavior.
You know, there are some folks that don't necessarily think it's real. I mean, they know there's a virus out there, but don't necessarily think it's going to impact them or affect them. There's other folks that have to do their work or essential social activities together.
The governor emphasizes that the virus will come in waves until there is a vaccine. Seasonal summer workers were laid off in droves this spring as it became clear that more than 1 million cruise ship passengers wouldn't be coming to Juneau due to the pandemic. But the city has created a Depression-era style conservation corps with Federal CARES Act funds that's already putting people back to work. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has the story.
Your on-off switch is right here. Kind of buried in there, but that'll be the first thing that you want to check. You
got also your crew leader Kanan Bosler is demonstrating how to use a plate compactor on loose gravel. Some of the members of Juneau's newly formed COVID-19 Conservation Corps are gathered around him outside the maintenance shed at the city-owned Eagle Crest ski area. Dave Scanlon is the general manager of the ski hill and helped propose the idea for the Conservation Corps to the city.
We've got a helicopter pilot, a hiking guide, a boat captain, you know, our mechanics.
He says they had more than 40 applicants for just 10 crew positions.
It's really a great diversity of people that have been affected by COVID, and their typical summer work just doesn't exist right now.
The Juneau Assembly approved $1 million in CARES Act funding for the Conservation Corps in June. The money is shared between Eagle Crest, the City Parks and Recreation Department, and Trail Mix, the local nonprofit that improves trail access around the community. At Eagle Crest, they'll mostly focus on the mountain biking trails that make up just one element of the ski area's ambitious summer development plan. The goal is to eventually turn the mountain into a year-round destination, catering to cruise ship passengers and independent travelers.
And by the time we've learned how to control the pandemic, hopefully we'll have this new infrastructure that'll be available and ready to welcome our visitors back to Juneau.
This is the second day of training for the Eagle Crest Conservation Corps, and for many of them, it's the first time they've been around this type of equipment.
It's actually pretty fun. It's lots of vibration. I feel like my arms are going to be pretty loose at the end of the day.
That's Jessica Davis. She's one of only a couple of women on the crew.
But it was a lot easier to move it around on flat ground than it appeared, but I'm sure getting up there and doing berms and stuff is going to be a whole nother story.
Davis has lived in Juneau for 8 years. She spent the last 4 summers captaining an Allen Marine whale watching boat.
I'm used to working up to 80-hour work weeks and just crazy hours, sometimes 2 a.m. starts in the morning for Tracy Arm Tours, and just having a normal set schedule and having a 3-day weekend, it's going to be really nice.
Davis works part-time at Eagle Crest in the winter teaching snowboarding lessons, but she's been out of work since Allen Marine laid off most of its seasonal staff in mid-March.
I guess it wasn't really a for sure thing until Canada closed their borders to the cruise ships, and then we were like, wow, there's no ships, no tourists to go out and watch whales. So then it really kind of came to a realization that I needed to start looking for other work.
Juneau's unemployment rate was nearly 11% in May. That's normally the time of year when tourism is really picking up, bringing in thousands of seasonal jobs for the 5-month season. Since the pandemic arrived early in the year, most of the non-resident workers that typically arrive in April and May never made it here. Still, hundreds of local residents who rely on seasonal work, like teachers or ski area employees, were out of luck. Davis says she'll miss the water while she's up on the mountain this year. She's used to getting to see her favorite whales and their babies day in and day out during the summer. And the type of work will be an adjustment, too.
Definitely a lot more physical work. I'll go from drinking coffee in the wheelhouse to hiking up mountains and shoveling and hauling rocks and dirt and using heavy equipment. So, yeah, I'm excited for the change.
Eagle Crest plans to keep the crew working until snow falls again on the mountain. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
The Copper River sockeye salmon return has rebounded from a below-forecast start, but personal-use dipnet fishing opens at Chitna are being reduced. State Department of Fish and Game Assistant Area Biologist Tracy Hansen says managers have to take a long view.
We have had some bumps in salmon, in late June and early July, which could perhaps allow for more opportunity, but due to the overall low sockeye salmon passage for this season, we want to make sure we can achieve the sockeye salmon escapement goal for the Copper River.
Hansen says, like last week, dip netting in Chitna will again be open Thursday at noon through Sunday at midnight. The personal use fishery remains closed to king salmon harvest. And a scuffle broke out at a fundraiser for U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan Saturday when activists opposed to drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge tried to make a statement. Kathleen Bonner, one of the drilling opponents, says she only meant to give Sullivan a caribou heart.
I thought it'd be powerful to have an Alaska Native person presenting that gift.
A video of the event shows Bonner shouting a few feet from Sullivan and his wife, then reaching into a black tote bag on her shoulder. Sullivan campaign manager Matt Shuckrow can be seen pushing past other activists and grabbing Bonner's wrist. He says he perceived her as a security threat. Bonner and several companions were ejected from the event to cheers from Sullivan supporters. Somewhere in the scuffle, the caribou heart fell to the floor and some of the blood landed on Shuckrow. Bonner, a 32-year-old health communications specialist, says in retrospect she gets why other people thought she might be going for a weapon. She says the action wasn't her idea.
I was acting on behalf of someone else and trying to fulfill someone else's vision for what he wanted done.
That person was a friend of a friend, Samuel Johns. His mother is from Arctic Village, a community that reveres the caribou and the part of the Arctic Refuge where they are born. Johns says he supplied the caribou heart.
I should have told them, keep this frozen.
John says he couldn't be in Anchorage to deliver the message himself, but he didn't intend any threat or for the heart to become a gruesome display.
The caribou is sacred. Like, you don't want to just disrespect it and just get its blood everywhere, you know?
People on both sides of the fundraiser scuffle report bruises and rough treatment. All right, coming up, we got Fish Radio followed by the Island Messenger.
The local news is supported in part by Ardinger's Fine Furnishings, home of the Tempur-Pedic Ergo Collection and the Tempur-Pedic Breeze, made especially for those who sleep hot. The Breeze cushions and supports you while channeling excess heat away from the mattress. Tempur-Pedic's Ergo Base allows you to move the bed into multiple ergonomic positions for sleeping or relaxing. 486-5554.
And by Arctic Physical Therapy Services, Incorporated. Professional rehabilitation for all your physical therapy needs. We repair the world's most complex machine. 813 Mill Bay Road, 486-4499.
This is Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Fly farms win big in Britain. More on Mag Meal after this.
Fish Radio is brought to you by Alaska Boats and Permits in Homer, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. Online at alaskaboat.com.
Fish Radio has reported on the global search for alternatives to wild fish as a food source for farmed fish and how insects fit the bill. That South Africa fly farming company we've touted called AgriProtein has won a Food Chain Global Champion Award in Britain for its Mag Meal, an ingredient used in fish and animal feeds made from flies reared on food waste. Every year, a quarter of the world's fish catches, 20 million tons, is directed away from dinner plates and instead goes into fish meal, according to the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization. World fish growers are facing increased criticism to find other food sources. Fish meal accounts for 60 to 70% of farmed fish production costs, and it can take up to 4 pounds of wild fish meal to grow 1 pound of farmed salmon. Tests prove that all kinds of insects can make a good feed, and the high crude fat content in black soldier flies provides an extra nutritional boost. The company calls the U.S. the world center of protein consumers and organic wastes, a natural fit for its fly-building businesses. The company has plans to build 200 fly farms in the U.S. and Canada by 2027, under current news reports, supplying the $100 billion aquafeed market. Scientists from Idaho universities also are embracing the waste-to-nutrient industry with a maggot-based fish feed that also reduces billions of pounds of cow poop. Idaho is the nation's largest rainbow trout producer and the fourth biggest dairy state. Flies feed on the cow manure and seed it with maggots. It's enriched with fish guts and turned into a feed that's being snapped up by the trout. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 8, date issued at 8:30 p.m. July 13th. The seaward zones of the Alinchak Bay, Katmai, Dakivak Bay, Outer Kukak Bay, Hallow Bay, and Big River sections of the mainland district, and the seaward zones of the northwest Afognak and Shuiak Island sections of the Afognak district will close to commercial salmon fishing at 11:30 p.m. Monday, July 13th. As previously announced, the following areas are currently scheduled to close at 9 p.m. Thursday, July 16th. The Outer Aikuluk and Outer Karluk sections of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Northwest Kodiak District, except for the Kujuyak Bay, Terror Bay, and Inner Uganic Bay, and Zachar Bay sections, the Afognak District, except for the Izhuit Bay and inner and outer Katoy Bay sections will remain closed. The northeast Kodiak District, the east side Kodiak District, except for the inner Ugak Bay section, will remain closed. And the Cape Alitak, Humpy Deadman, Alitak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alitak District. The mainland district will close at 9 p.m. Wednesday, July 15th. The following areas remain open until further notice. The Spiridon Bay Special Harvest Area, also known as Telrod Cove. Until further notice, in that portion of the northwest and southwest Kodiak districts, south of a latitude of Cape Kuliak, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse seine in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Concerning the North Shelikof Strait fishery, short notice and period closures may occur for seine fisheries in the seaward zones of the North Shelikof Strait area as designated in the North Shelikof Strait Sockeye Salmon Management Plan. Closure announcements may occur at 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., noon, 2 p.m., 5 p.m., or 8:30 p.m. on VHF Channel 6. Other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart and detailed in the Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations. And statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fishing Game Office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. And this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Thank you. And welcome to your Island Messenger for Tuesday. It is the 14th of July, the year 2020. The sun rose today at 5:32 a.m. It won't set again until 10:59 p.m., giving us 17 hours and 27 minutes of glorious daylight. That is a loss of 3 minutes and 3 seconds. Sun will rise again tomorrow at 5:34. Our record high for the date was 80 degrees, set in 2003, and our record low was 35, set in 1927. We had some cool temperatures in the 20s. Right now, 68 degrees here in Kodiak. What a great day. Plenty of sunshine on tap for the rest of the day. Highs were predicted at 65, and we've already beat that. For tonight, clear skies, low around 54. And for tomorrow, mainly sunny skies as well, high near 65. Winds from the north to 10 miles per hour. Not too shabby. Looking at our local tides, we have a low tide coming up here on the east side at 3:13 this afternoon. That's going to be a 2.6-foot tide, followed by a high tide at nearly 10 o'clock, 9:58 p.m., a 7.4-foot tide, followed by a low tide tomorrow morning at 5:04 a.m. That's going to be a 1.7-foot tide. And our high tide tomorrow morning on the east side will be at 11:11 a.m. That's going to be a 5-foot tide. Over on the west side, and these are Ugak Bay tides, you will have a low tide coming up at 4:08 this afternoon. That's going to be a 4.9-foot tide, followed by a high tide at 10:23 this evening of 11.9 feet. Your low tide tomorrow morning on the west side will be at 5:27 a.m., a 3-foot tide, followed by a high tide nearly noon on the west side, 11:38 a.m., a 9.9-foot tide. Looking on to our marine weather, here is your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A 1,002 millibar low, 140 nautical miles southeast of Middleton Island, will move to 200 nautical miles southeast of Middleton Island and go to 1,008 millibars on Tuesday night, then weaken and exit the Gulf on Wednesday night. Our resulting weather, small craft advisory today on our east side offshore, Marmot Island to Sitkanak. Northwest winds to 20 knots right now and seas to 9 feet. Tonight, west winds to 20 knots, seas coming down to 7 feet. And for Wednesday, we're looking for the west winds to 20 knots, switching to the southwest, remaining at 20, seas 7 feet, coming down to 6 feet on Wednesday night. Thursday through Friday on the east side, south winds to 20 knots, seas to 10 feet, although they're saying south 15 on Saturday, and seas coming up to 10 feet on our east side. Pretty nice conditions on our inside waters, so Chiniac and Marmot Bays. We're looking for west winds 10 to 15 knots, seas 2 to 3 feet. That weather is supposed to diminish by tomorrow from 15 knots down to 10 knots tomorrow afternoon. Seas remaining at 3 feet on our inside waters. And we're looking for seas going down to 2 feet on Thursday, southwest 10. over in the Shelikof on Kodiak's west side. Southwest winds to 15 knots right now and seas to 4 feet. For tomorrow, look for southwest winds to 20 knots, seas building up to 5 feet tomorrow afternoon. And for Thursday through Friday, look for south winds to 15 knots, seas to 3 feet. Saturday, they're saying on the west side, variable 10, seas to 3 feet. Pretty nice. Nominating petitions for 2 3-year city council seats are now available in the city clerk's office. For additional information, call the city clerk at 486-8636. They're having a Caregiving 101 webinar, When Does Forgetting Become a Disease? Have you ever walked into a room and forgotten why? Yes, I have. We encounter so many changes as we grow older, including changes in our memory. This class starts the discussion by distinguishing between what is normal aging and what is not. Learn about the different types of memory and, if there is a concern, how to facilitate conversations with your doctor and your family. The webinar is Tuesday, July 21st. That's next Tuesday, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., and it's free. Registration is required, though. For more information, you'd want to contact Joan Adams at 907-452-2277. That's, and you can also contact her at jadams@alzalaska.org. But again, her number, 452-2277. On a related note, join Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska and Alaska Legal Services for a webinar. That's happening Monday, June 20th. During the webinar, they'll explore some of the legal issues faced by those who are caring for someone with dementia. Some of the questions to be covered include when to get a lawyer, what type of lawyer, what is the difference between power of attorney and guardianship, and when is it important to consider, what do you need to deal with regard to end-of-life questions, what should you do if abuse is suspected, how should you handle property and financial concerns, big questions. Free attendance. Registration is required. And the person you need to contact for this one is Amy Basia. Her number is 561-3313. Again, that's Amy at 561-3313. The Lutic Museum has some upcoming events, including Craft Saturday Online. This next Saturday, Lutic Mask Carving with Dierich Chaya. Watch a tutorial video and learn to carve an Aleutic-inspired mask out of Dove soap. Video will be uploaded on Facebook and their website starting at 11 a.m. on Saturday. And go to the Aleutic Museum website to find that. On Saturday the 22nd, their Craft Saturday will include a simple child's headdress. Have you heard the buzz? Kodiak Public Library is hosting a community beekeeping project this summer. Join the Honeybee Explorer Steam Club or watch their live hive check every Tuesday at 11 a.m. on the library's Facebook page. That library Facebook page is a pretty great place. You can also contact Ani at 486-8683 to learn more about that. Coming up on Thursday, the Kodiak Public Library will host a Zoom Room Book Club. Meet up online to discuss what you've read, watched, or listened to from print to podcast. Send an email to Lori at lmadsen, that's M-A-D-S-E-N, at city.kodiak.ak.us to get your Zoom invitation. Also, it's not too late to sign up for the library's summer reading program. Use Beanstack to log reading minutes and summer activities and earn prizes. Just go to www.kodiak.beanstack.org to sign up for that. And from Wednesday, every Wednesday at 10:30 a.m., the library offers a virtual children's story time on their Facebook page and YouTube channel. This week, Ms. Ani will read various children's stories. The public library is also open by appointment Monday through Saturday at 11, 1, and 3 for a one-hour visit per day. For seniors and early birds, 9 a.m. appointments are available as well on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You're reminded that patrons must wear masks and allow and follow social distancing guidelines For more information about any of these things, call 486-8686. Saltwater fishing. Saltry has been very slow on their weir counts, but there are fish building in the river and the bay. Stocked king runs are pretty much non-existent so far, just a couple of fish. Dollies are thick in most roadside rivers right now, and king salmon fishing has become excellent this weekend. King salmon catches were great, and many reports of limits being caught, fish ranging from 5 to 15 to 30 pounds. Hot spots are Buoy 4, the Fingers, and Chiniac.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.